right. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, worship team. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 this morning. We're going to be in Genesis as well. Genesis chapter 6 and 7. We'll start out in Hebrews chapter 11. Walking in God's grace. I told you we had started a series in the Old Testament, and we're going to get to that. We've been putting Genesis and Hebrews together, and the Old Testament characters and what New Testament says about them as well. And we're going to continue that today as we talk about Noah. We're all familiar with the story of Noah, you know, 40 days, 40 nights, rain and all that. We'll get to that here in a few minutes. Many of you have been to the airport before, all right? Some maybe to Tampa International Airport. I've been to Tampa International Airport. I've been to Houston. I've been to Atlanta. Oh, my. Anybody ever flown through Atlanta? Oh, my. Woo, that's a big airport. And one of the things that they provide there is, especially at the Atlanta airport, but at many other airports, is they have different ways you can travel, so to speak. They have shuttle buses and everything. But once you're in the airport itself, you have basically, as I say, you've been telling people all these years, if you want to get somewhere, Pat and Charlie. Pat and Charlie, they can tuck you there, right? Your feet, your legs, just get up and go. But at the same time, at some of these large airports, they have these, you know what I'm talking about? The moving sidewalks, the moving walkways. I like those. I like those, you know. And I've gone through the Atlanta airport one time, and it was me and Ethan, and I realized that we had to get, we flew Delta, and I realized that we had to go from gate A, whatever it was, to gate B, whatever it was. So I'm thinking, oh, well, it's just right next door. Yeah, some of you have been through Atlanta. You know what I'm talking about. And we had like, you know, 45 minutes to get there. And then I get there and I realize A goes on forever, you know. And so we're huffing it. But eventually we come to those moving sidewalks. So I'm like, oh, man, let's get on one of those. So we get on one of those, you know, and you just kind of watching people. You see other people hoofing it down, trying to get to where they want to be. And you're just kind of going, how's it going? You know, and you're waving as you go by, and you see some of those folks, and you get off of that, and you get onto another moving sidewalk, and you just go. And if, be honest, do you ever walk on the moving sidewalks? Yeah, I do too. I just got to get to where I'm going, right? And you pass some of those people, but then you finally get to your gate, and you realize that you get to the gate, and some of the people that you were waving by to are already there, and you're going, what in the world? How did that happen, right? How did they get here so quickly? Well, while you thought you were all big stuff on those moving sidewalks, what did they do? They sat down on a golf cart, right? They just moved right on down there and beat you there. You know, a lot of people in their Christian life, they're hoofing it through God's airport. Man, they're just working it, and they're giving it all, and they got all kinds of baggage and luggage, and they're going, and the whole time that moving sidewalk is right there, and they never use it. I know I've done that in airports before. A lot of people in their Christian life do exactly that. And then there are others who are wise enough and they're walking with God enough. Not only do they use the moving sidewalk, they also use the cart as well. And it makes life just a wee bit easier, does it not, when you're using that golf cart and you're getting from point A to point B. But in the Christian life, Christians do this so often. We're hoofing it through life. And we got all the struggles and the hurts and the heartaches and the aches and the pains. And the whole time, we could be getting on that moving sidewalk. And yay, we could even be getting on God's spiritual cart if we're simply walking closely with God. But we don't like to do that. We like to do things our own way. So we're the ones with a bag strapped here, and we got a thing of luggage here, and we got another thing of luggage there. And we're trying to, you know, we're getting through the airport, right? God never intended the Christian life to be that way. If you'll walk with God. We talked about Enoch last week. What was Enoch's claim to fame? He did what? He walked with God. For he was not. God took him. And we saw how Enoch was a great man of God, a great man of the faith. And we looked at him in Hebrews chapter 11 last week. Well, today we're going to look at another gentleman, Noah. So if you'll look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. If you would, stand with me out of respect to God's word. Hebrews 11, 7. Hebrews 11, 7. The word of God says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Thank you. You may be seated. Lord, we pray your blessing on the word of God today as we speak of it. As we get into this message today, walking in God's grace, walking in God's grace, I presented to you last week the different things that are included in a walk with God, all right? Things that we should, you know, be stepping out in faith, things that we should be doing in order to walk closely with the Lord. Today, what I want us to see are some of those supernatural results or supernatural graces. Our question today is this: when I walk with God, what graces can I experience? As I walk with the Lord, what graces do you, I mean, is there really something that's a little bit different when you walk with God? I'm here to tell you there is, amen? There is something just a little bit different when you walk with the Lord. There are graces. Now, grace is unmerited favor. That's the most basic definition most of you know of. Unmerited favor. In other words, God is giving you something that you do not what? Deserve. Something you don't deserve. You don't deserve heaven. But what does God say? I'll give you heaven if you just trust my son. For by grace you have been saved, right? God gives you something you don't deserve. And when you walk with God, the truth is the same there as well. What's supernatural? I wish I would put the word supernatural in there, because really all of us experience the graces of God. Coming here today, you got God. Y'all realize you got God's grace all over you? We are in an air-conditioned building. Amen? Especially in Florida, you know? Now, some of you right now are going, man, is it stinking hot in here? And others are being, you know, and I try to set it just right every service. But nonetheless, we're thankful for that. It's a great, you know, and those types of things, the air you breathe, the food you eat, the homes that you have, the clothes that we have, those are what are known as common graces. Just the common things that everybody, the godly and the ungodly, experience. But what about the specific graces? What about the supernatural graces? Do you experience those in your own Christian life? Because we all experience God's grace, but do I experience God's supernatural graces? Today, I want to share with you four supernatural benefits that Noah experienced in walking in God's grace. Hold your finger here in Hebrews 11. Go with me back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I don't know if you got one of those markers, or maybe you got a bookmark or something, because we may be going back and forth here between the two passages. In chapter number 6 and verse number 3, we find that God says, you got 120 years. My spirit's not always going to strive with man. You got 120 years. What God's doing there is he's giving a warning. In 120 years, something's coming. It's not going to be good. All right? What is that something that's coming? It's the what? It's the flood. So God's got this thing coming down the pike there. And if you look at chapter 6 and verse number 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Boy, what a damning statement. Let's look at that again. The wickedness of man was great. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Does that remind you about a time? Does that remind you of today? Yeah. Verse 6. And the Lord saw that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So what does God say in verse number 7? I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I have made them. Now, we're not going to get into the whole God was sorry because, God made a mistake. No, that's not it whatsoever. But nonetheless, what we need to understand here is that man was wicked, wicked, wicked. But then look at verse number 8. But, circle that word. B-U-T. Circle it. But, contrast. But what? Other than the wickedness, what? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with who? Does that sound familiar? I think we heard that last week, did we not? Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. The first supernatural benefit that I see in this life of Noah, and I'm sure that there are many, I'm just pulling out four today. First of all, the first supernatural grace is the grace of salvation. He says that he was a just man. The word just means righteous. He did right things. He was standing in righteousness. It also said that he was a perfect man. The word perfect means to be blameless. It means to be innocent. It means to be wholesome. All right? This was Noah. By the way, please keep in mind, this is before Jesus goes to the cross. This is even before the Ten Commandments. This is before the law is even given, and already Noah was right and just before God. In other words, he was saved. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he was saved. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 speaks of this salvation. It says, speaking of Jesus, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who were called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Guess what? Noah was called to receive that promise. He was just. He was perfect. He was righteous. Back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7, at the very end of the verse, it says that Noah became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah was just. Noah was blameless. Noah was walking with God because he experienced and found what? The grace of God. The grace of God. And that grace of God resulted in salvation. His salvation is never and was never and shall never be apart from grace. And the same thing is true for you and for me. Before he could be saved, he needed to understand God's grace is there and God loves me and God wants to save me and I want to follow him with my life. And that was Noah. And that was Enoch. And that was Abraham. Abraham's righteousness was accounted to him. His faith was accounted to him as righteousness, rather. Turn with me. Take your Bibles. Go with me over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, quickly. Just go back a little bit. Romans chapter number 3. The grace of salvation. Have you experienced the grace of salvation? I sure hope so. And I sure hope it's not just a one-time event, but rather you're enjoying the salvation of God's grace every single day of your life. But Romans chapter 3, and look at verse with me number 21, speaking of this grace of salvation. People sometimes wonder, how in the world could they have been saved back in the Old Testament before Jesus was ever on the scene? Because they put their faith in the righteousness of God. Verse number 21, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. I.e., Noah. Even the righteousness of God through faith in who? What does it say? Jesus Christ. To all and on all, including Noah, who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being, there it is, being what? Justified, declared righteous, just like Noah, freely by his grace. Did you catch that? The grace of salvation. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. To do what? To demonstrate his righteousness. To demonstrate his righteousness. Noah enjoyed the grace of God's righteousness through salvation. When he put his faith in God, that God was the one true God, he was the saving God, he was the only God he could put his trust in, Philippians 3:9 puts it this way, being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. That's, by the way, let's stop right there for a moment. That's where we like to go, don't we? Well, look at all the good things that I've done. Yeah? That's your righteousness from the law speaking. Well, look at me, what I've done this. I've done these things over here, and I've done those things over there, and I've done these other things over here. I done good. No, you didn't. Number one, that's pride. Amen. Number two, there's nothing good within us, for all have sinned. There's no one righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10 says, right? So therefore, it's not you. Doesn't matter how many good works you got stacked up to the heavens, God says those are according to the law. Those are no good in my book. It's through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. What are we saying? We're saying that Noah put his faith in God. His ticket, his Pat and Charlie, so to speak, his sidewalk that was moving, so to speak, his cart was King Jesus. That was his ticket to heaven. Is it yours? There's a story of a dad who took his son to the fair. And dad bought enough tickets for his two sons. He bought tickets for them. And so he divvied them up between them, you know, and dad kept a few to give to his sons whenever they ran out. Well, just so happened, one of those sons saw one of his friends at the fair. And his son didn't have any tickets. And the little boy introduced his friend to his father. And right away, the little boy said, can I have some tickets too? And the dad said, well, you know, I kind of really bought these for my own son right there. And this is for them. And his one son spoke up and said, oh, no, Dad, it's okay, really. You can give him some of my tickets. This is what Jesus has done for you. You see, you can't get to heaven on your own. But Jesus has bought your ticket. Your ticket is found in the Son. And when you put your faith in Christ and when you put your faith in the Father, you can obtain the ticket of inheritance of righteousness. Amen? You can go to heaven. You can take part in that grace of salvation. Do you on a daily basis thank God that you're saved? Do you? Do I? That's something we ought to thank God for all the time. That is a supernatural transaction that has taken place in my life. And man, I remember, I shared with you my testimony before. I get goosebumps when I start to think about it and begin to explain, because I know that God did a miraculous work in my life. This is what God did in Noah. He saved Noah, but Jesus wasn't to the cross yet. It doesn't matter. He had faith. He found grace and favor in God. Have you? I surely hope you have. That is one of those things. When you're walking in God's grace, you're thankful for the grace of salvation. But secondly, there's the grace of extraordinary living, or grace of living extraordinarily. Big word there. In other words, his faith walk went past what everybody else has did, and went past whatever he was. You know, we're kind of satisfied where we are in our faith. Well, I'm right here, so I'm okay. No, because the person who's living by faith and living and walking with God, you know what they want to do? They want to increase their faith. Every day. Every day I want to increase my faith. Become more like Jesus, right? Being conformed to his image, right? Okay? This is what Noah did. Back at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7, it says here that, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen. Well, think about that. You ever thought about that before? What was he warned about? What had he not seen before? Let's just go. There's lots of things. He had never seen rain before. At that time, a canopy pretty much covered the earth, and that's what watered the grass and trees from the heavens. And then the water that was underneath came up through the ground, right? He had never seen rain before, so that would have been a first. Not only did he not see rain, he didn't see catastrophic, cataclysmic rains. Amen? We think some of these downpours in South Florida are bad. Whew. 40 days and 40 nights of that. Do you think he ever saw the ground open up and the gushing of water from beneath the ground ever come? No, he never seen that. You ever think he saw the number of animals that God ended up putting on that ark? No, probably never seen that. He probably never saw a lot of things. He never saw an ark of these proportions. He never saw that much lumber in his life. He's probably sick and tired of gopher wood, amen? But you know why he was able to do it? Because he lived in an extraordinary way as he walked with God. When you walk with God, you live an extraordinary life. It's interesting here that Noah was already just, righteous, and walked with God. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but back in Genesis, before he ever was spoken to by God. Did you ever notice that? We want to put the cart before the horse. In fact, going back to Genesis, let me go ahead. Man, I took my bookmark out of there. What in the world was I thinking? I knew I would do that. Here we go. I found it. Look at verse 13. If you look at verses 1 through 7, you'll see that it says, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. But it never says, the Lord said to Noah. Did you notice that? Then you get to verse 13, and all of a sudden it says, and God said to Noah. What do you say? The end of all flesh has come before me, and for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Noah had never experienced anything like that. But before that came, in verses 8 and 9, he's already found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He's already just. He's already perfect. And he's already walking with God. We like to put the shoe on the other foot. We like to turn it around. We want God to do something, and then I'll walk with you. God says, no. You got it backwards here. You got the cart before the horse. You walk with me, and then watch what I can do. How many of us have ever promised God things in our life only to break those promises? Okay, Adam, just me and you, brother. Okay, me and Adam and my wife. My deacon's being honest. That's good, all right? It's always good to have an honest deacon in the church. Every one of us have done that. God, if you'll just provide here. God, if you'll get me out of this situation. God, if you'll bring healing. God, if you'll just cause this person to... And then God does it. And how do we respond? Okay, God, thanks, I'll get back to you next time I need you. You know, we got that's a genie in a bottle concept, right? Not with Noah. Noah was just, righteous, and walking before God and with God before God ever said, hey, Noah, guess what I'm about to do? And here's what I want you to do. Sometimes we wonder, why doesn't God speak? Why doesn't God move? Why doesn't God lead? Why doesn't God help me? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? Why doesn't God engage me? Where is God? It's quite possible you're not walking with God. And that's why you want him to be your genie in a bottle. That's not how the Lord operates, amen? He operates on his timetable, not Noah. I like here also the part of this living extraordinarily. He walked with God before God spoke directly to him, but secondly, that God had extraordinary plans for Noah. Think about that for a moment. I want you to build the ark. Think about that. The size and enormity, a job that took him 100 years plus to complete. Some of us gripe if we have a task that takes us, you know, we mow the yard. And in South Florida here, I don't know about most of you, but I know in my yard's pretty small. And if I have to get out there and mow it, I'm asking myself, where are those kids at? I thought this was why I had children. Where are those guys at? They should be out here mowing this thing. The flood. Not only that, Scripture tells us that Noah was to be the instrument to rescue his own family. Noah, Mrs. Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, all their three wives, just eight of them. He provided deliverance. He provided a covenant. Listen to me. God has extraordinary plans for you if you'll just walk with him. God can do great things in your life if you'll walk with him. Listen, young people, y'all look up here, Pastor West. Young people, and when I say young, that means everybody in here because we're all young at heart, if nothing else. I don't care if you're in first grade or in your last year of life. God can do great things in your life if you'll simply walk with him. I was just a couple days ago, I was visiting with Miss Margaret out at Tampa General. They got her out of ICU, and I went in there and spoke to her, and y'all pray for her. She's looking weak and feeble, bless her heart, but she's still encouraging. And she said, well, Pastor, I don't think I'll be at church this Sunday. And I'm like, duh, you know. And she said, but you know what? God has given me a ministry here. Wow. It's not in Papua New Guinea. It's not in jolly old England. It's not at another church. It's right here. And I was like, that's what it means to walk with God. You begin to do extraordinary things for God because God is with you and God is working in you and through you. And I just thought that was... I took a step back whenever she said, I said, you know what, that's exactly right. Because you're going to see nurses that you'll never see before. You'll see doctors. You'll see person sitting in the bed next to you, you know. What a phenomenal opportunity. The grace of living extraordinarily. Do you live that way? Do you? Do you live in a way that people just kind of go, what? I went to Home Depot here a couple days ago. Got some mulch. springtime, got to get the mulch replaced, right? So I got some mulch, but I didn't get enough, so I had to make a second trip. And don't ask why I was off count so badly, but I had to go back and get 8 more bags of mulch. Some of you have seen my house, you're like, how could you be that far off? And that, you know, 1 or 2 bags, okay, but 8 bags? Yes, I was that bad off. Anyway, don't worry about it. So I put my mulch on that little flatbed. I paid for 8 bags, you know, and I walked out to my car, and I went, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Something ain't right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm not kidding you. I counted 3 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I had a moment. Now, normally when you walk out of a grocery store or Home Depot or Lowe's or Walmart or whatever, and you have something you have not paid for, what happens? Beep, 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 right? The little bells and whistles, they go off, little red lights, you know. They're stealing the mulch. They're stealing the mulch or whatever's going on, right? But nothing happened. So I have a spiritual moment of crisis. Now you tell me, what are most people going to do, even Christians? The bells didn't go off. They don't know. They probably owe me money anyway. What do you think most people would do? Shut the door and just go on back to the house, right? I'm glad that the Lord got my attention on this, because I didn't. I left that 1 bag on the flatbed, put it in the car, locked it up, went back, pushed it back, and the girl that helped me out, she's like, you know, she's wondering if I'm going to gripe about something, you know. I said, you know what? I'm sorry. This old boy can't count. You start getting those numbers close to 10, and I lose track. I bought 1 bag too many. I said, actually, here's the receipt. I only paid for 8, and I took 1 without paying for it. Don't worry about it. Would you mind if I just take it back, and I'll put it back where it belongs, and I'll put the flatbed where it belongs? And she's like, okay. What? You know, just give me that look. So anyway, I put it back, and I walk it back out. As I'm walking out, I said, again, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to steal from you guys. Have an awesome day, you know, and I just kept on walking. And I just see this girl back there go, did you see that? And I just kind of chuckled to myself. That man just brought back a bag of mulch. That's something else. What does that tell you about our world? It tells you there are thieves everywhere, you know. Now, that is a minute illustration of living extraordinarily. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I didn't want to put it on my car and drive off, and then the cops stopped me before I got out of the parking lot. Amen. You know, bring that bag up on you. Cuff him. You know, I didn't want that, you know. But the Holy Spirit was saying, you know what? That's not yours. You didn't pay for it. What do you think you're doing, Pastor? Believers who are walking with God live differently, way differently. Number 3, quickly. Is the supernatural grace of a keen awareness of God's plan. Keen awareness of God's plan. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, He prepared an ark. I was going to go through it, but because of time, I'm not going to. Read Genesis 6, 14 through 7, 6, because basically it tells you the instructions that God gave to Noah. God told Noah to build an ark of gopher wood. He said, I want you to put rooms in this thing. I want you to cover it in pitch. He says, I want you to make it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. And I want you to put a window in this thing about 1.5 feet above the very top of it. I want you to put a window in there. I want you to make a big door on the side. And the point is, as you read through chapter 6 and 7, God gives specific guidelines of exactly He wants. And then He says, I'm going to destroy everything. I'm going to give you a covenant so I don't destroy everything like this again. I want you to gather your family. I want you to gather your food. I want you to gather the animals, the unclean animals. I want you to gather the sacrificial animals. I want you to go into the ark. And then after you're in the ark, 7 days later, the rain's going to come. God was being specific with Noah about His instructions. In other words, Noah was in the know. Are you? Does your Christian life go beyond your faith walk where you are right now? Or are you seeking to know the plan, the will, yea, the mind of God of what He would have you to do as you pursue Him in this faith journey today and into tomorrow? Are you in the know? Am I in the know? Sometimes that's tough. You all know our testimony as far as what God has done in our life. And, you know, a lot of times people, they just kind of, well, I'm not sure what God wants to do with my life. You know what? Here's a clue. Ready? Walk with God and you'll find out. Walk with God and you'll find out what he wants to do in your life. Don't take the easy road. Don't take the normal road. Don't take the road that everybody else takes, because broad is the way that leads to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to life, right? So don't follow the norm, but rather what the world would expect you to do and to go down that path, but rather seek God, walk with God. When, as I mentioned earlier, part of our testimony when God moved us to North Carolina, God blessed us. My goodness. And some of that blessing was right through you guys, you know? Before we moved, I don't know if I ever told you this or not, but we had to get a moving truck and take it up there, and then my in-laws brought it back after we moved to North Carolina. And I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but y'all paid for that truck. I don't know if you knew that. I mean, you gave us a love offering. The love offering paid for the truck. You know, that's awesome. God provided. But you know what? When we moved up there, and as you all know our testimony, we got up there. We didn't necessarily have a place to live, but the house we were looking at was owned by a seminary family. Seminary family, as soon as we walked in the door, what do we see on the counter? Big old bouquet of, we see flowers, and we see, remember that big old basket of fruit and goodies? And they were, welcome to North Carolina, welcome to seminary, you know? They had already moved out, and even though we had not signed the paperwork on the house, they said, go ahead and stay the night anyway. You don't think that's not a God thing? I know it is. And I didn't have to work for 2 months because God had blessed us here. This was at the height of the housing market, so we made some decent money on the sale of our house. So I didn't have to work for the next several months, and we were able to put a nice down payment on the house. And then when it was time to work, God provided a position, a full-time position, at Neuse Christian School, teaching full-time. Folks, I didn't have all that before we left. All I knew was God was pulling an Abraham on me. Abraham, pack up and go. Where? I'll tell you. And God was pulling an Abraham on us. David, Darcy, pack up, go to North Carolina. Where? Wake Forest. But God, just do it. We're dealing with this. I've got an unusual vantage point. When you walk with God. Listen to me, young people, because some of you, you know, as adults, we're kind of set in what we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives and all that kind of stuff. But for you young people, I'm telling you, if you will walk with God, I'm not sure what tomorrow holds. That's great. That's why God says, I want you to take a step of faith and just follow me and walk with me and watch me unfold the entire thing before your lives. And I promise you, you will be amazed. You will. Think about that. When Noah was building this ark, he was keenly aware of what God wanted him, and he just did it. Build an ark? It's going to rain 40 days, 40 nights? What? Just do it. Just do it. And we should as well. When you walk with God, you have an awareness that you never had before, the things of God. And lastly, finally, the grace of boldness. It says in Hebrews 11:7 that he condemned the world. What he did, what he said, condemned the world. He had condemned the world in three ways. His words condemned the world. I often wonder, did Noah stand out there on a pedestal or on a hill and have, in contemporary terms, okay, with a hammer in one hand and a Bible in the other, preaching for 100 plus years? Because God said in his word, you got 120 years, and then after that's when he told Noah to start building. And actually, Noah didn't start building until when he was 500 years old, when his first son was born. And then the flood came 100 years later. So he either built for 100 years or 120 years or whatever it was, but nonetheless, did he preach that entire time? The Bible doesn't tell us, other than saying that he warned, or rather he condemned the world. His preaching would not have been popular today. No. I would assume that the message was, I'm building an ark. God's going to destroy the earth because of your wickedness. Get right with God or you're toast. In a nutshell, that probably was it. But nonetheless, I don't know if he preached for 100 years. By the way, write this verse down. 2 Peter 2:5. 2 Peter 2:5 says that concerning Noah, said that he was a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. Was he ever asked questions? I'm sure he was over 100 years. What are you building? Why are you building? Are you nuts? Where are you going to get all the wood? Who's going to provide the pitch? It's just going to be the eight of you? Really? Did he ever reply to these comments? We don't know. Did he ever try to get others on board? I'm sure. But his words condemned the world. His actions, secondly, condemned the world. Basically, what he was doing, the building of the ark itself, condemned the world because it provided... You think about this. He was providing them an opportunity for over 100 years. And what did they do? Probably mocked him. I mean, think about it. What do they do to Christians today when Christians say, you know, Jesus is coming soon? Yeah, right. You guys have been saying that for 2,000 years. Those first disciples said the same thing after he ascended into heaven. You're still waiting. Yeah, right. Bunch of crazies, bunch of wackos, bunch of right-wing, you know, conservative nut jobs, you know. I mean, that's how they look at us. Bigots, homophobes. We get the mockery. Yeah, I'm sure he did too. But I'm sure his actions, he just kept on doing. Kept on serving. Kept on working for at least 3,650 days, if it were 100 years. Or 36,500 rather. His attitude condemned the world. His attitude. What kind of attitude would he have had? I mean, think about this for a moment. To build that ark and to obey God, what kind of attitude would it take? 100 plus years of building. No rain. Yeah. How many of you would have stuck on that job site? Some of you are like, as long as I'm getting paid, I don't care. It's called job security. You know, that's good. But really, what if you weren't getting paid? But yet he stuck with it. He was living a life of faith. He was living a life of obedience. That was the grace of boldness. His very attitude in serving the Lord condemned the world because he was trusting God and what God had said to do. Do you have that kind of boldness? Do you have the boldness to read your Bible at work? Do you have the boldness to pray before your lunch break? Do you have your boldness, young people, to stand up in school for others when others are being mistreated? Do you have the boldness to step out in a new ministry or in a current ministry here at the church? Do you have the boldness to speak to your neighbor? You see, all of these things, being bold for God means you're walking with God. If you're constantly cowering and you're afraid, you don't want to share and you don't want to speak to people about it, and whenever people do speak of God, you kind of go, whoa, I'm going to go the other way. You're not walking with God. You're not walking with God. As we close, I want you to listen to the words of this song. When we walk, walking with God. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, walking with God, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go, never fear, only what? Trust and obey. I submit to you that Noah trusted and obeyed. And therefore, in trusting God and obeying God, he walked with God. Do you? Walking with God brings so many benefits and blessings to our lives. In Noah's case, it brought salvation, extraordinary living, a keen awareness of God's plan, a boldness to do and say what God wanted done and said. He wasn't using his feet necessarily or trudging through life. Even the moving sidewalk, he was riding on the cart of God's grace. How about you? Do you walk with God? Are you experiencing God's graces, or are you just average run-of-the-mill Christian that kind of blends in with the world and really doesn't make a difference in the world whatsoever? Do you walk with God? Noah did. My prayer is that we would as well. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for Noah. I thank you that you bless. I'm thankful that you desire to use us in a miraculous way. I thank you that you are a great God who's done it all for us. Lord, may we join you in your grace. May we walk with you as Noah walked with you. May we walk with you as Enoch walked with you. Lord, may we walk with you as the disciples walk with you on a daily basis, ever seeking, ever knowing, ever desiring to know you deeper, to know you better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.